You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In today's episode, Reggie shows us how true freedom is found when we refrain from judging our experience by making room for and extending love towards the unwanted, damaged, and painful aspects of ourselves. We become whole. This, he says, is the greatest gift we can offer the world. These excerpts are taken from two different talks given at the 2010 and 2011 Winter Datun Retreats, held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
Maitri practice means being straight on. You know the song by heart, Straight On to You? That's what we're talking about here. I don't remember the lyrics, but it's something like, you know, I've been checked out for a long time, and I've been scared to relate. But now I'm making a change, and from now on, it's straight on to you. And that's the basis of our path. It's the basis of the journey. And it's all well and good for us to talk about loving other people, but the gritty part, the hard part, and the transformative part is actually learning how to include everything that we are within our heart, within our field of love. It's hard work, but it's still very, very doable, and it's something we have to do. So this Maitri practice, it's a lifelong dimension of the journey, and there are a lot of ways to address it. First of all, we have to open up the pockets of psychological and emotional and spiritual infection. We have to open them up. And the interesting point is actually they are open and they do come up when we're activated, when we get upset with other people, when we feel isolated or angry or needy. Those are those pockets of infection calling for us to relate to them. Sometimes we feel that we don't want to get activated. We want to stay away from being upset. We don't want to feel lonely. We don't want to feel tormented. But the thing what we have to realize is that we do feel that way in our depths. You know, we feel a lot of difficult, painful things all the time, and simply putting a cover on it doesn't help. In fact, it's worse. Because what happens at that point is, as you know, we know from psychology, those tormented and damaged and tortured parts continue to operate, but without our knowledge. And they come out as subtle arrogance, subtle narcissism, a sort of perpetual neediness toward the world, a feeling of, underlying despair. In the meantime, we do our practice and we pretend everything is okay. And the thing is, everything is not okay. And if we're going to have the kind of freedom and the kind of openness that we want, that we deeply long for, if we want the sense of connectedness with other people and with the world that we so deeply desire, if we truly want to come into an experience of human life that doesn't have boundaries and limits, we have to do this Maitri work. And it needs to go on and on and on. And, it's interesting, in our culture we have so many tools. Often the view is missing, and so the work remains limited, but the tools are there. And, body work, Rolfing and deep massage and, other modalities of working with the body, the IMT work that Carolyn and I are very familiar with, the acupuncture, acupressure, energy work, you know, all of these, so the somatically oriented things, yoga, qigong, these are all ways of doing Maitri. You know, if we do them not as a way to get rid of our problems, but as a way to connect more deeply with the unhealed aspects of ourselves, then they can make an enormous contribution. Because what they do is they open up these pockets of infection and illness and pain and unresolved torment and make them available. But then we have to do the work, and that's something that in our culture doesn't always happen. A lot of times the patient or the client feels that simply the work itself is enough. But we understand very well in our lineage, it's one thing to open things up, and it's another thing to actually be there and open your heart to it. And that's where the transformation occurs. It doesn't occur from opening things up. It occurs from once things are open, how we relate to them. And rather than relying on the therapist to sort of keep the pressure off, we take what we get out of, you know, physical or psychological therapy, and then we do this work that we just did. We bring that person before us, we open ourselves, we make a relationship to that part of ourselves. We begin to see how in our life that person is turning up actually quite a bit. And that person or persons, most of us have several persons. I was on retreat a few years ago and I came up with 52 damaged parts, each of which was calling, you know, for a relationship by me. One of the interesting parts was the spiritual teacher. The spiritual teacher came up and said, I need help. You know, because I'm a spiritual teacher, I need help. Being a spiritual teacher is a reflection of my trauma, and I need help. So that was interesting. So, you know, we almost sometimes it seems like, you know, all we're doing is relating to our own pain. But the fact of the matter is that it is the foundation. You know, without that, without being in touch with those parts of ourselves, we can't actually love other people, because we can't have sympathy for them, because we don't know what it's like to be that, because we feel we aren't that. But, you know, if we are, if we know very well that we are the custodian of a whole world of samsara within ourselves, and that at any moment one or another of those interesting complexes, as they're called sometimes, these sort of individual personalities, at any time they could pop up and they could take over the field of consciousness and then require us to come in and make a relationship with them, not push them down, not try to get rid of them, but make an actual relationship, then we're in a very interesting place. And, you know, the more you do the work, you will never sit down with somebody, no matter how tormented or hideous or ugly they are, where you won't see yourself in them. It'll never happen. And if it does happen, then there's something that you've missed about yourself. And so there's some more work for you to do. If you see the person as truly somebody who is unfamiliar, you don't know that particular kind of pain. So, you know, we're doing all this work on the cushion, and meantime, it's so much about ourselves, but in being about ourselves, it's about the rest of the world. Trungpa Rinpoche used to say that you work on one neurotic emotion in yourself, and you're working on that neurotic emotion everywhere on the planet. That's why it's said with sometimes with the Tibetan, in the old days, these Tibetan people, men and women who would spend their lives in dark retreat, and even today, you know, there are people in the Himalayas, not in Tibet, you know, because the Chinese won't let it happen, but, you know, Bhutan and Ladakh and Mustang in Nepal and, you know, more remote areas, there are people who are sealed up in caves for the rest of their life. And their vow is they'll never leave the darkness. And, you know, what it said in our tradition is those people are actually doing more for the planet than anybody, because all day long, morning, noon, and night, they're working on the damaged aspects of themselves. But those damaged aspects are reflections of that very same pain throughout the whole world. When you take your life in that way as a completely impersonal thing, that it's an arena of potential activity and an arena where you can learn how to love in a way that affects everybody, that it's not personal, it's not about you, then at the same time you're dealing with a tremendous amount of darkness and torment and pain. From another point of view, you're completely free. You're free. And in dealing with your own darkness, there's a sense of joy and a sense of tremendously deep meaning, meaning of your own life. So, yeah, let us appreciate the preciousness of this situation of our human life and appreciate the opportunity that every tormented part of ourself presents in every moment of pain and every moment of disconnection. It's a huge opportunity for us to open further and heal the totality. So, yesterday I worked with you, and my idea was to open up some space for us. And it was interesting for me. I was sitting here and I had some things I wanted to talk about, and I always check with the lineage before I actually start, and usually they say, fine, that's great, go ahead, cool. Sometimes they reject the first idea and then number two is the one they want. But yesterday, every single thing I came up with, they said no. Everything. Except for one thing, space. So, you know, I'm always trying to be a good boy, so... So I went ahead, and we made a journey together. And what happens when we become bigger people, and that happened yesterday for all of us in one way or another, meaning we made more room for ourselves. When you make, first you have to make the room. You can't really invite the guests in until you have the room to invite them into. So first we make the room very big, which is what we did. And then, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of interesting guests turned up today. And what these are parts of our authentic self that we have been holding at bay. And it's been a difficult day for all of us, including me. Just parts of ourselves that are insistent and arrive on the scene. And sometimes there are parts of ourselves that are very positive. We feel tremendous rush of energy. We feel confident. Sometimes we feel terrible about ourselves because there's a part of ourselves that hasn't been, you know, we need to welcome in parts of ourselves. But anyway, a lot of experiences occur, and what we have to understand is that part of becoming our authentic self or growing into our authentic self is that we have to actually meet all the parts of ourselves that are damaged and dismayed and let them heal. And let go of all of the ways we have of avoiding experience and then welcoming in, you know, new parts of ourselves. So it's a very dynamic process. And it's a difficult one because we're also fixated on, you know, basically fundamentally trying to be safe and trying to figure out what's going on and trying to know who we are. So I want to acknowledge that after yesterday, for many of us, there are just a lot of things stirred up, and a lot of different kinds of feelings that maybe are unfamiliar or maybe difficult, whatever. In this framework, it's really important for us to talk about Maitri or loving kindness. Basically, as practitioners on the path, we need to open ourselves to ourselves. We need to provide a warm, open, welcoming embrace for ourselves. And ourselves means whatever shows up in our experience, whether it's something that we like or we don't like. We have to learn to love what we are in this moment. What this involves, of course, is number one, is that it's so important for us not to judge anything that happens with ourselves. We mustn't judge ourselves. Judgment is the, what's in psychological terms, it is taking on the role of the authoritarian parent and putting ourselves down for something that we're feeling or thinking or something that we did. So number one principle of Maitri is we mustn't judge. Don't judge. Simply be with experience without judging. And this is really difficult, and we have to, all of us have to acknowledge the amount of time we spend in judging ourselves. Now some of us, and not that many of us, but a few of us come to really positive conclusions about ourselves. That's judging. You know, we do something that in our value system is really good, and we feel really, really pumps us, you know. Wow, you know, I did that. God, I feel so great. That's judging. But equally, if we have an emotion or we say something to somebody that upsets them, or we miss something, or we our meditation, according to us, isn't going well, then we judge ourselves negatively. Maitri is not judging. Because think about it, when something happens, before you judge it, it has its room to live. It appears in the universe, and it's like a flower that is opened. And it gets to say what it is, whether it's sadness or depression or happiness or a kind word or an angry word. It gets to define itself. It gets to speak itself. And what it speaks is complete. And in that moment, the universe is reflected in its uniqueness, in its beauty, its perfection. And when we judge it, what we do is we come in, whether we judge it positively or negatively, we come in with a concept and we slap it on the situation in order to determine the meaning of that situation within our immediate ego framework. In other words, we put it in a cubbyhole. That's what judging is. It's taking the plenitude and infinity of experience. Number one, we kill it, and number two, we put it in a cubbyhole. The meaning of sadness is found in the sadness itself, not into what we attribute to it. Do you see what I mean? The meaning of everything that happens in our life is in the thing itself. It gets to define what it is. It gets to have its own life. It's appeared in our life out of the beneficence and the bounty of the universe. This moment has appeared in our life as a flowering and an offering to us. And if we judge it, we kill it. And it cannot fulfill the reason that it came. Things arrive at our door, they knock, we open the door, and when we judge things, we hack off their limbs, their head, their legs, And then we say, okay, now you can come in to my room. When people were burned at the stake in the Middle Ages, often they would say, they would speak their truth before they died. And this practice developed of heating iron balls, red hot, and putting them in their mouth. And their tongue would swell up so they couldn't talk. And they couldn't speak their truth before they died. And that's what we do to our own experience. Experience is sacred. And when we judge ourselves, we play God. We say that we know better than the universe itself the meaning of this feeling or experience or person. That we know better than the universe the meaning of us. The first principle of Maitri is don't judge. Don't judge. That's one reason we meditate. Because in meditation, constantly judging, we come back to the body. We start judging, we come back to the body. And over time, we begin to see what we're just about to do, and we let it go. Until we stop judging, we can't love. As long as we judge other people, we really can't love them. This is a very hard lesson for us because we judge everybody. Meantime, many of us feel we love other people. We don't love other people. We love our version of other people. And that's not loving other people. So, you know, we have to begin with ourselves and our own experience. We have to resist the temptation to judge ourselves. We mustn't judge. And we have to initially work on that so hard to not judge. So, not judging is number one. And the second part of Maitri, and again, this is the ground of our path, that's why I'm talking about this. The second part is that we need to allow ourselves to be touched by our own experience. We need to open ourselves in an unconditional way to what we go through. We need to allow our heart to be affected, to allow our bodies to feel. We need to be willing to feel what happens. When we feel and open ourselves in a very unconditional and naked way to our experience, the experience fulfills itself in our body. It's able to deliver the gift that it was sent for. If you simply say, don't judge, it's not quite visceral enough. It's not quite sexual enough. Sexual union is a metaphor for how we need to be with our whole life, meaning that we need to let ourselves be touched at the deepest level by the other, in this case, our own experience. Maitri is discussed a lot in Buddhist tradition, and the one thing that one could say about it is that it's a little too heady, the way it's usually talked about. It's this sort of concept that you should practice loving kindness to yourself. One of the key points of the body work is the body work makes the experience of Maitri real. Maitri becomes a matter of direct experience when we work with the body. And the reason that is because when we are in our body, we are not judging, and we are feeling. So simply, Pele is in very, very good shape back there. we are feeling as we need to, and we are not judging. And that's Maitri. And, you know, we often say that when we do the body work, that the journey unfolds, that we identify tension and it releases it, that we are in our bodies, we're with our experience, and things begin to unlock and open and flow, and all of that is true. And the reason is because to do the somatic work is to practice Maitri. To work with our body is to have the literal, direct, personal experience of what Maitri is. So it's very simple for us in this lineage and very direct. And at the same time, it's something that we need to carry in not only when we do the practice, which is the practice of Maitri, but then in our everyday life, we need to carry those two principles of not judging and of willing to be, to develop an unconditional openness and acceptance to all experience. We need to take that into our ordinary life and bring it with us. And again, the body work is important there too, because we can always come back to our body anytime, any place. Anytime we're stuck, we can come back. So I just wanted to mention this very, very important notion that, you know, the practice of meditation in the Vajrayana is fundamentally about developing an attitude of love, of loving kindness towards ourselves. And you almost could say that that's the beginning and the end of it. If you know how to do that and you're willing to do it, there's no further journey that's needed.
Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Kechog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.